keep bringing this roundtable back, and tonight we will come back with the NFC fantasy draft grades. Just like last week, we did the AFC with one asterisk, thanks to Mr. Elliott, the commissioner. This week we are coming back NFC hard, Sean. NFC hard, my friend.
That's right. Get to talk about the exciting NFC that seems to have possibly a few more fantasy-relevant players than we got to talk about last week in the AFC.
I couldn't agree with you more. And as we said, this is a fantasy draft grading system. So we're not grading the GMs, Sean, right? We're not grading the talent of the players. It's more, what did this draft do to the fantasy outlook for these players, right?
Right, because, you know, obviously these guys spend a tremendous amount of money scouting, background checks, to figure out what they need for their team. They're not really too concerned about how we do in fantasy football. And a lot of these picks are going to take years to, you know, really come and show what they're made of. You know, we're looking for impact this year and how it's going to affect the overall team this year.
Yeah, that's right. Well, let's just kick it off with the hottest prospect that everyone says is 1-1 in rookie dynasty drafts. The Dallas Cowboys first round, Ezekiel Elliott, the running back from Ohio, followed it with the sliding because of injured Jalen Smith at linebacker. It is an important draft because of what he will do to that team in hopefully a couple of years if he's healthy. A nice defensive tackle in the third round, Charles Tapper, a good defensive end. They did get their quarterback, Dak Prescott, from Mississippi State in round four. And then Darius Jackson and Rico Gathers, a running back and tight end, around six and seven. What do you think about these rookies and the impacts they can have to fantasy players on the team, Sean, and the rookies themselves?
Well, like you said, hopefully the defensive picks will really help them out years to come. You know, obviously everybody's going to be extremely high on Mr. Ezekiel Elliott. Not only does he look like a fantastic talent, but he's going to a team with, you know, a very good running offensive line. Look how well Darren McFadden performed last year. And, geez, we're talking about Darren McFadden, for goodness sake. So you put a real guy that's more just going to go crazy. It'd be very interesting to see how high he climbs. I would imagine very high is what he's going to end up.
The commissioner from the KFFFC has joined us. Commish, this draft by the Cowboys really essentially left Dez Bryant and Terrence Williams alone. Jason Witten alone with Gavin Escobar behind him, and they interject the young rookie. What do you like for what this is doing for the fantasy prospects for GMs here?
How you doing, boys? Good to hear your voice, Bobby Butterfield, dodging those tornadoes. That's very impressive. you know, I think we're going to OD on Zeke Elliott before the season starts. If he has 2,000 yards rushing, 25 touchdowns and catches 100 passes, someone somewhere is going to say he didn't live up to all the hype. Yeah. You know, it's the commentary from camp. I got a tweet that said the coaches are nervous. Zeke Elliott fell down and he stumbled, and this was a legitimate tweet. So this kid's going to have a lot of weight to carry on his shoulders. I like defensive. What's the defensive end's name? Is it Tapper? Tapper.
Tapper. Charles Tapper.
I really like what they did there. I thought, and poor old Jerry Jones, he gets criticized no matter what he does. I thought the drafting of Jalen Smith, which showed that they're going to be willing to be patient and they won't get an immediate impact from him. Possibly he could be ready late in this year. I thought it was a great future pick. I think it's critical to the Cowboys' success that they do begin to look into the draft, into the future. So for the immediate, it's all systems go. Best news out of Dallas is Tony Romo, for now, while he's wearing shorts, is healthy. And Zeke Elliott stays that. They've got a very big weapon. And, you know, it's hard to say, guys. What was the team last year? 4-what? 4-12, were they?
Yeah, 5-sounds right.
You know, so it's hard to believe you could be one difference maker and one injury away from making all that work. This team is.
It's true. So I'll throw a little water on this then, because I think as much as we want to anoint Ezekiel Elliott, like you said, Farrell, and have him be an overload candidate, Darren McFadden and Alfred Morris are still there, and he's still a rookie with a quarterback who needs pass protection. So I don't know. I'm a little concerned. I think there's a lot of mouths to feed with an offense that doesn't know how to feed mouths to begin with. Sean, I'll go first here. Fantasy draft grade for me, this is kind of like six-day-old lettuce to me at the grocery store. I'm not too excited.
Yeah. I think we would be excited if everybody wasn't getting so hyped up about it, like Farrell said. You're just not going to be able to get Elliott. And like you said, you know, who knows what Alfred Morris's role will be or what McFadden's role will be. Overall, I'm going to say it's lukewarm because of all the overhype.
Lukewarm.
No, I agree. I agree with that grade. Now, it would be very frustrating if you saw Zeke Elliott run up and down the field, catching passes, picking up 5.5 yards of carry for them to get down to the goal line and bring one of those other guys in. It would drive you nuts.
Right.
But I think that's the only thing that that you've got to worry about, Zeke Elliott. And based on, you know, hey, look, here we are. Here we are in May, the second round of rookie camps, and we're seeing that this guy's already a first-round fantasy draft pick. I talked last week about how I don't necessarily like rookies. I certainly don't like them in the first round, so I'll let somebody else draft Zeke.
All right. We will move on to the Giants, but just the parting words here. This is a brittle starting lineup to me with Tony Romo's injury history, Dez Bryant's injury history, Darren McFadden's injury history, a rookie running back, Jason Witten's age. I don't know about this. The New York Giants come out of the gate at the 10th spot and took a cornerback. I'm sure Farrell liked that pick. Eli Apple was a desperate position of need for the Giants, but my favorite wide receiver ended up going to the Giants, Sterling Shepard, in round 2. And then in round 5, this guy's going to get all kinds of buzz. And if he has a hot preseason, it's going to be over because he'll be overdrafted. Paul Perkins, the running back from UCLA, looks sweet to me, Sean. What do you think about these Giants and what it does to their fantasy starters?
Yeah, I agree with you about the running back. And you know, it looks like not only does he look like a good prospect, it looks like he ought to have some opportunity there as well. Seems that they always shuffle that backfield like crazy and maybe he can win that job and, you know, really take off there. But, you know, Shane Vereen disappointed us all last year. I like Rashard Jennings, but how much does he have left in the tank? So maybe it's a good opportunity for him there. And we still don't know about Victor Cruz's health. He's supposed to be back. But we'll see. That could be a very good receiving core if everybody's healthy there.
This is a great receiving core, Sean Ligon and Sterling Shepard. 75 catches, 8 touchdowns this year. He will be the most prolific receiver that comes in this league. I will try to add him to every team. He can't be overdrafted. You don't want to pull the trigger too early, but with production like this, you can't be overdrafted. Explosive, over a 40-inch vertical jump, and I would like him just as much if I hadn't represented his father and bounced him on my knee as a kid. So I got to tell you, I don't know where some of these skills come from, but he is a fantastic player. And even as the 40th pick of the draft, I can still say that he's the most underrated player in this year's NFL draft.
Oh, I love it when I get to agree with Farrell. It doesn't happen that often, and he is spot on. This is a fantastic wide receiving core for fantasy. Beckham and Shepard will treat you right. You will get what you draft for. You will not be overpaying at those positions. I think this draft helped Eli Manning. I think the Paul Perkins draft helps me because I will not be drafting Andre Williams in the 30th, 20th round. So that's fantastic news right there. I will not be drafting Shan Vereen in the round 13 because Paul Perkins is there. That's fantastic news. And I will not take a stab on Rashard Jennings in round 6 because Paul Perkins is there. So I love this draft from a fantasy perspective. I've got clarity at wide receiver. I love both those guys where they are. I love Eli Manning where he falls out of that tier 1, tier 2 quarterback class. I think this was a fantastic draft by the Giants. And I'm going to give it a grade of a Quentin Tarantino movie. Just fantastic. How about you, Sean?
Wow, Quentin Tarantino. That's pretty strong.
That's beautiful.
I agree. Yeah, it looks like, I mean, like you said, it's everything you're looking for in a fantasy draft. Not only do you have some new exciting guys coming in, but it also should look to breathe some life into Eli Manning and make things easier for Beckham and Cruz. So I'm right there with you. I'll go with a Kill Bill rating on that one, though.
Oh, I'm coming with a rating of I, and it's an incredulous incomplete for the Bobby Butterfield. You're supposed to be leading us through as the show host, and you do an exemplary job, Bobby. But, you know, you're not even talking about one of the positions that was solidified as a draft and who I expect to be the everyday starter at the tight end position in the New York Giants. And that's our Gamecock. Jarrell rhymes with Pharrell. Jarrell Adams, sixth-round pick out of South Carolina. Come on, Bobby Butterfield. You got to stay with us here, buddy.
Look,
tell the folks about Jarrell Adams because I know you know something.
All right, I know something, but the first thing I know is the Giants have been living without a tight end since the days of Jeremy Shockey.
Let me ask you something, Sean Liggin. 2 years ago when the Giants went against Detroit, who caught three touchdowns? Was it Beckham? Was it Victor Cruz? Or was it some kid no one had ever heard of unless they listened to our podcast and found out about the big tight end out of Grambling? Who knew to start Will Ty last year in the playoffs? The people that listen to this show. Now we're telling you about another tight end. He's going to set all those guys on the bench, and it's going to be Jarrell Adams as a future tight end. So you're looking at another 50 catches. And so let's talk about this. I don't know what we have Cruz doing. We've got Beckham at 115. We've got Beckham at 115. We've got Shepard at 75, plus doing wonderfully around the end zone. And so now we got 60 at the tight end. How many is Eli going to throw the ball 600 times and complete 425?
He's going to throw the ball a lot. And I think you can't discount Shane Vereen this year. The second year there, he's going to have, I think, a lot of catches. And Farrell, we still got to be honest. I love Adams, okay? But, I mean, what was he, like 30 catches last year, okay? And he's a basketball player. So he played forward, so everyone always likes that. Kind of lanky. He's not put on that muscle weight yet, so he's going to look good out there in preseason. And he may do well in preseason. But we all know, and Farrell, I need you to agree with me or disagree, because I want to know, that first year for rookie tight ends is so difficult, Farrell.
So difficult unless you're 6'6", 260, and can move. Now, you're right. What's going to keep you off the field as a rookie player is if you don't understand the playbook, if you can't get in position to do what you need to do. But with Adams, we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt until he proves that he can't play the position. And I'm all for this player. I think he has physical skills. And, I think we're going to have a very impressive time with this player at tight end. And, you know, they use the tight end a little differently than a lot of teams do. They let the big boy almost play like a move tight end, which gives him a lot of underneath, which shaved a lot of numbers last year off of Vereen. People would say, well, why didn't Vereen have a big game? Well, you can go back and look at it. Vereen didn't contribute when Ty did or when one of the other tight ends did. You can look at it side-by-side stats all the way through the season.
All right, so incomplete from Farrell in a wonderful Quentin movie by me, and Sean was on board too. We're moving on to the Eagles, and we'll probably have to do a little wager on that giant tight end, because I think if he gets 20 catches, I'd be shocked. The Eagles! Well, every team has to learn this lesson once in a while. They drafted Carson Wentz first round. They gave up the farm for that. Took a center in the round three. Took Wendell Smallwood, a running back out of West Virginia, who could be a bigger threat than people think at round five. And the rest of the draft was defense, boys. So we come back with an offense with Wentz and Bradford and Chase Daniels, Ryan Matthews with Sproles behind him and this little rookie Smallwood, and then the wide receivers have been left alone, including last year's sexy rookie. What do you think, Sean?
I think this draft is probably, I would classify it as a wait and see. Seems like everything they did is building for not right now. I don't think the team like you said, they didn't really do much to what they have besides clearing out more room for Matthews and Sproles. So I think the wait and see attitude on it. I like Wentz. I think he's going to be a good player in the future. I think he may be the best player in this draft for the future, but I don't think he makes a huge impact this year, especially not in fantasy.
I really am going to be disappointed if we have to suffer through a year of Sam Bradford and don't get to see this kid Wentz play. I want this player to be on the field. It's good for the NFL. I don't understand how you can keep this player on the bench. I just don't get it. He can learn bad habits from Sam Bradford. You know, I don't understand why I got that situation, and maybe that situation doesn't end up the way it looks now. Isn't it strange how Bradford is backpedaling his way into camp? And an analyst today on NFL Network said, you know, he hasn't lost the locker room. The locker room's still with him, and that makes sense because Bradford is a popular, well-liked guy. But he sure as hell has lost the fans, and you don't want to lose the fans in Philadelphia, for God's sakes.
Man, you do not want to lose the fans there. Farrell, coming back at you, the one thing I like about the Wentz potential for finally getting on the field is the type of players he's going to get to be playing with out there as far as helping him find some success. You know, Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles are excellent football players. They know their playbook. They know where they're supposed to be. You don't see quarterbacks get hurt because Matthews misses a block or Sproles. Sproles is always where he's supposed to be. He finds the seam. And you've got a great wide receiver in Jordan Matthews, an up-and-coming rookie in Nelson Aguilar. And Chris Givens is an interesting player. Josh Huff is an interesting player. And then throw in Zach Ertz and Brent Celek. There's a lot of veterans that will help this kid. I'm with you, Farrell. So do you think that the Eagles are thinking that, hey, we've got players that will help him succeed early?
Well, I hope they are because I want to see him play. And I'll say this. You take this quarterback, you could have plugged him into a lot of teams. They could have made a difference. And, you know, it bothers me a little bit. If I'm running the Rams, this is the kid that I have coming in to quarterback my team. So I think the Eagles got a real gift here, and I'll be glad to see them use him.
Well, Sean, for me, the grade on this draft is I don't like it because I believe Wentz will come in at some point. He'll at least be playing towards the end of the year. I think our consistent fantasy production from these players I talked about is out the window. I think it's going to be a horrible year for people who draft these guys. And so I'm giving this a grade of a New York City subway token. You know, just terrible.
Probably not. Like you said, I don't think he plays until later on in the year. I think that division will be so mediocre. And like you said, they have enough good players left where they should be right in that mix of those teams right there with them. So I think they'll believe they're in the race probably longer than they are, which will delay Wentz getting on the field a little bit. I think whatever opinion you had of Philadelphia before the draft and their players, you probably should have the same exact opinion after the draft.
That's exactly right.
Wow. Farrell, what's your grade on this draft?
I'm back to our burritos. I'm back to immediate burritos, but I'm confused. You put a double nasty burrito in front of me, and it looks like a pizza. I'm just very confused about what we're doing here.
Double nasty burrito. Yeah, my concern is if I'm wrong about a yo-yo thing and a negative impact in the middle part of the season or the first third, if I'm wrong about that, then for sure Sean's right. It'll be like that at the last third of the season when we need him the most. So I just think the Eagles, you're right, Sean. Your opinion before, it's the same now. I just don't see the consistency. And if you're a drafter who likes consistency, I think this team's going to be problematic for you. The Washington Redskins are up next. They took a wide receiver out of TCU. Everyone loved Josh Dotson. Fell to the 22nd spot. People really loved him. Mr. Cravens at safety, a wonderful signing from USC. And then they took a cornerback, a defensive tackle, a backup quarterback, and Keith Marshall, a Georgian running back in round 7. So they basically came back with their team and added Josh Dotson. Let's let Farrell go first this time. What do you think this draft did to the existing players, Farrell? Ian? Board.
not a great deal to the existing lineup. I want to see how the running back, how he matures and does now that the job appears to be largely his. Jones is who I'm referring to there. Dotson is, you know, not all the scouts. He's a tremendous physical prospect, but not all the scouts were completely sold on him as one of the top, as an elite wide receiver. He was going to be drafted high, but not everyone was sold on him because, you know, what he does, he lines up and he runs a slant or he runs a post route, and that's essentially all you see him do. So there could be some developmental issues that could lead to some frustrations of Cousins with this player. And he, again, this pick won't affect fantasy this year, but when we talk about forward-thinking teams preparing for the future, my second favorite quarterback in this draft went to the Foreskins with the 187th pick, Nate Sudfeld out of Indiana. I love this quarterback, and I'm glad to see that. I'm glad to see that Jay Gruden does too. So it's going to be an interesting year in for the Redskins. You know, they've got exactly what they need in quarterbacks going to be from day one, and I think you can be a little more sure of yourself when you pull the trigger on Redskins players at the draft. So this, as far as this college draft, it didn't really affect. It didn't have that big of an effect.
Sean, Matt Jones, of course, the player at running back Farrell's talking about, DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon, along with Jordan Reed, are the attractive players here. Some Kirk Cousins influence. So what do you think this draft did?
I think it adds another weapon for Kirk Cousins. I think it probably, you know, will further dilute the number of catches between all the wide receivers. They seem to spread it out between all the wide receivers and Chris Thompson, the running back. Jordan Reed's really the only guy I think you can count on for a heavy volume of catches, and that's what we all hope he does. So, I don't think I'd be targeting any of their wide receivers per se, but I think it does help Cousins, and it probably helps the running game overall.
I think this Josh Sosman pick is amazing. Kirk Cousins was a quarterback I was not going to rely on much this year. Now I'm much more comfortable with him. I think Dotson's a fantastic, untapped, a player that we love to talk about in fantasy football who the Redskins took him, and he's nowhere near his peak. This guy in TCU, they've only had a receiver break 1,000 yards three times. This guy did it two of the three times, 2014 and 2015. Drilled down, I think, 70 and 80 catches those 2 years. This guy makes some of the coolest catches I've seen of all the receivers this year. I liked him a lot. He's kind of thin, but he's tough. I think he's a perfect player for Kirk Cousins. So I like this draft for that reason, and I like the defense. I like the quarterback that Farrell talked about. I think that's nice to get a guy like that that's a quality guy, a quality athlete behind Cousins. Clarity with RG3 out of this team now. You got Matt Jones, Alfred Morris is gone. I like what this did for the draft, you know, so I'll give it a nice chocolate eclair. For me, it's a nice solid draft. I like what it did to Cousins, and I like Josh Dotson. And I think, you know, DeSean Jackson is a time bomb, man. So he's had a couple of decent, consistent years. It's due. That Claymore is ready to go off, and next thing you know, Dotson's going to get 100 targets. So I like DeSean.
Bobby, question.
Wow.
And I think
I think
Sean is absolutely hitting the nail center of the head right here with Reed being the guy. But here's what I got to ask you. Give me some solid numbers on Dotson. Let's see if we can get us a bet here.
All right. Oh, for projection this year?
Yes, sir. That's
okay,
what solid numbers are.
I'm going to say Dotson gets 65 catches. He gets 750 yards. And he gets 6 touchdowns.
65 catches for downfield receiver and only 750 yards. So they're going to throw him a lot of inside stuff to move him around a lot. I guess that's what you see happening with him.
Because they're going to
buy that. So I'm not going to be that excited about him. How many times do you have him scoring?
I think 6 touchdowns.
6 touchdowns. So where are you going to draft this kid? Seventh, eighth round?
Oh, I think he'll fall later, and that'll be okay. What do you think, Sean? I think we can definitely get him in the double-digit rounds comfortably.
Yeah, I think, I mean, for those kind of numbers, I think you have to. I mean, it's just, I kind of feel like they're the way the Saints used to be, that you can move a lot of wide receivers in there, and you can probably depend on the quarterback having pretty good numbers, the tight end being a good player, but I think they're just going to spread it around. They seem to have that type of offense right now.
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to temper, because your excitement, we could have a listener call in and say, Bobby Butterfield back in May told me that this Dotson was the greatest thing. And, you know, he's catching three balls and four balls a week. And so I think you've got to put some real numbers on this. And then if you like those numbers, those are numbers for a double-digit draft pick, and that's where I see him going. I guess you just seem to be very enthusiastic about the young Texan.
I do like what this kid did on a college team that had a vanilla offense, spread offense, not a lot of, you know what I mean? So I think we've seen very little what this player is. And I think it really more depends on Kirk Cousins than anything else. So, and anyway, so what kind of grade do you give this draft then, Pearl? Give us a letter, a number, a car, or something.
Well, I'll tell you what, if the newly acquired Norman at corner can rack this kid up a little bit in practice and get him ready to play in the NFL, I'm willing to say that this draft is very vanilla but very functional. And that's the grade I'll give.
The Chicago Bears at the 9 spot took Leonard Floyd, the linebacker from Georgia, and boy, did they need him. Then they went with a guard, Mr. White here in round 2, excellent guard from Kansas State, defensive end Bullard. They took an inside linebacker, then a safety, then a cornerback, and finally a running back in round 5, Jordan Howard, out of Farrell's, Indiana, and a wide receiver from Western Michigan in round 7. That Farrell probably wants to talk about Daniel Braverman. But anyways, this offense comes back, Sean. It's Jay Cutler, but we've lost Forte, so it's Jeremy Langford. It's wide receivers Jeffrey and Kevin White back from injury, and it's tight end Zach Miller, not Martellus Bennett. If anything, this draft did nothing to the existing starters, so will they get more time?
I think they almost have to. I was looking at the depth charts for this team today and thinking to myself, geez, it looks a little thin over there at wide receiver, depending on what White does, I suppose. We don't really know what to expect out of him. Everybody was awfully high on him coming out of college, so I guess we'll see. You removed, maybe. I know you're not sold on Langford, Bobby, so some question marks there. So it looks like to me the Bears offense, the guys that are left are going to get a heavy volume, but overall the offense probably will not be as good this year as it was last year, and that's not so good.
And that's scary. You know, Whitehair is a 10-year offensive lineman and one of the most consistent players in college football this year, and I think they did great there. I think Jordan Howard at the 5th round is a steal. Without his late-season injury issues, he goes higher in the draft. He didn't perhaps test as well downgrade in running backs overall throughout the draft. I think it affected Howard. So as a 5th-round draft pick, he could get in and turn some heads, and so I expect him to play this year, and that could further impede Langford's how you assess him as a fantasy running back. So it's truly perhaps a running back by committee there. And that's about all I got to say about the Bears. It's just the same old stuff, and I think they're going to be playing from behind often, and Cutler's going to be flinging it, and it's going to be fun to watch. And we'll have to ask our good friend Brad Cruz about the receiver White, because he's been a big fan from day one, and we'll see if he's still got that same kind of passion for the second year receiver he's yet to play.
It's a tough call there on Kevin White and Cutler, in my opinion, because Adam Gates has left the farm. This has got me very concerned. Brian Hoyer coming in to back up Cutler has me concerned. Eddie Royal being wide receiver 3, like Sean said, has me concerned. Martellus Bennett and his consistent play, because he just didn't get along, quote, with his team. I don't like that either. I think the best thing that's happened to this team this year is the pick Farrell mentioned, Jordan Howard. Guy is a running back Bears fans will love, right, Farrell? He's kind of a bruiser. He kind of gets into collisions, doesn't he?
He gets into collisions, but he's got excellent balance, too, and he seems to have a lot of shake to him. This is one of those players that came out of a football-rich Alabama that, you know, leaves your head scratching as to how he didn't end up in an SEC school. But beyond that, when UAB canceled the Blazer football program, talent from that school just spread all over the country. And this is the biggest example of it. And he was a real pleasure to watch in college, and he looked like the most NFL-ready running back that I have seen. You know, you stand him next to Ezekiel Elliott,
yep,
and you decide who's going to pass the eye test, and you're going to vote for Howard every time.
And, folks, you're not going to hear that often, and he is right. Jordan Howard, when you look at his complete body of work, is a bell cow running back. So notwithstanding what happened to him in his college career with the colleges shutting down a program for him and him moving to Indiana and then having a knee tweak, this guy is a very capable back. So for the Bears, you know, I call this a rebuilding the foundation draft because, to be honest, they did what was right for the franchise. Fantasy-wise, I'm upset. Foundation-wise, I love that they took care of their defense with Leonard Floyd at linebacker, Bullard at defensive end, great players, and Iwatowski, I believe is how you say it, the linebacker from West Virginia. Those guys great, but Farrell's right. White hair at guard, that's great for Jay Cutler. So I'm just disappointed on the Adam Gase departure. I don't mind the Forte departure, Sean. So I'm going to just call it a concrete draft. What do you think?
I'm going to say the fans in Chicago probably just continue to watch baseball through October. Both of their teams. I'm going to call this draft. I'm going to go with an old Cubs adage. Let's wait. We'll go get them next year. How about that?
That's rough.
Go ahead and draft the tight end in this offense because he's going to be open. He's going to be open often. And I will tell you that I really like what Miller does in this offense.
Well, you are a brave soul. I like that. I'm going to just put down Farrell's grade for this. A brave, brave soul.
Tight end with gravy is my grade on this one. That's
tight end with gravy. Oh, is that like gravy you buy at, you know, Stop and Shop, or is that mom's gravy?
What in the hell is a Stop and Shop? Sean, will you help me out here? I don't know what the Vermonter is talking about. And my mother's relationship with gravy has to do with sitting in the restaurant and ordering it. But, you know, we'll get it where we can get it. So, it's, you know.
That's just not right. Stop and Shop would be gravy that was canned 9 years ago. So,
concrete gravy,
right.
Yeah.
All right.
Want a chance to win a free main event team at the KFFSC?
The nation's largest live draft outside of Las Vegas? Go to allpurposeroto.com
and sign up for our weekly newsletter and you are automatically entered into the contest. In July, we will draw a lucky winner that will get a free main event team at the KFFSC. As the winner, you will draft and have your chance to win $7,500. KFFSC Championship. All you need to do is go to allpurposeroto.com and enter your email for the weekly newsletter. Don't worry, your email address stays with us. We don't share. No Patriot spam gate here.
Detroit Lions, you know, this team is just destined to disappoint fantasy owners every year. Calvin Johnson has left the farm. They come into the draft, Taylor Decker, the offensive tackle from Ohio at 16, a great player for the offensive line. That'll help Stafford. Sean Robinson, the defensive tackle from Alabama. They pick up Graham Glasgow, a center in Michigan, so they're helping that offensive line. Then they go center, a guard, safety, linebacker, Jake Ruddock, the quarterback from Michigan in round 6. Dwayne Washington, the running back in round 7, I suppose. Farrell, we're going to have to mention this. So this team comes back to its fantasy owners this year, Amir Abdullah, Theo Riddick, because Yoke Bell is gone. So it's Stafford, Abdullah, wide receiver Golden Tate, now the wide receiver one, and we bring in Marvin Jones, and don't even talk to me about Eric Ebron. So what do we got here? This looks like a big, lumpy pile of mashed potatoes, Farrell.
We have a wide receiver missing. I kept waiting for them to pull the trigger on a wide receiver in this draft, and it is rich. Now, Bobby, I wish you would pull up because I know you're sitting right in front of Command Central there. I wish you would pull up undrafted free agents signed by Detroit Lions and see if we can actually find a wide receiver that might make this team. But I think that's what's missing as a receiver. What's here is an O-line and two very good picks on the O-line to support the run and protect the quarterback. And so if you've liked Stafford in the past, you can like him more this year. And if you loved Abdullah, what you saw in the preseason last year and were disappointed, you've got to remember he's the number one running back on the depth chart. And if you saw promise last year and still saw promise at the end of the season, then you've got reason to believe again this year. So, yes, this is a draft that doesn't mean a whole lot for fantasy rookie contribution, but the two linemen that came in can make a difference for the quarterback and for the running back because they're that good.
Sean.
Yeah, the way I see this whole offseason for Detroit is it gave, you know, Golden Tate elevates him up to a number one guy now, of course. And he's also a very consistent guy. So he's the type of guy that I normally like to go after. He's going to get a lot of targets. He's going to have consistent productions. He's not going to have the big swings up and down. And I think if, you know, like Farrell said, if you can get Amir Abdullah at a much discounted price, because he won't be the hot player like he was coming in last year, people are probably going to be down on him quite a bit. So I look for him to rebound a little bit. So, yeah, I kind of agree. I think this draft is laying the foundation, but they do look a little thin at wide receiver, no doubt about that.
Farrell,
you know, Sean, you pointed it out in many conversations when Tate has been most successful. It was been when he was thought of as the man, when he came in, when Calvin was hurt. And, you know, perhaps as a complimentary player, he was not what we wanted in fantasy ball, and maybe as the number one receiver, he will be what we want. So where do you see Tate going in the draft, guys? That would be a question from that I would like answered here in May, because that's one that'll be he could be all over the board, I think.
Sean, it's scary. I've seen him in mocks going in 3 and 4, and it's just way too rich for my blood. How about you?
Yeah, I was thinking fourth round is probably where he'll go. But I could see him. I could definitely see him creeping up into that third round. People are gonna look at the games. Like what Carol said, when Calvin wasn't there, you can really count on Stafford just throwing the ball to him. It seems Stafford's another one of these guys. It seems like he has his favorite target. He locks onto them and pretty much has tunnel vision for that one guy.
A team playing inside at the end of the season and playing from behind, and you know we can't expect some better things, because when Mrs. Ford came down from the penthouse of the ivory tower and demanded some type of responsibility from coach and ball players and front office and fired everybody last year, maybe some of the players are paying attention. You know, I was in a half daze sitting in the easy chair, and I saw 92-year-old Mrs. Ford there, and I said, oh, Mama's on TV. What the hell have I done? And it wasn't that at all. It was Mrs. Ford shaking down the team and shaking things up. So maybe the Lions wake up and look different.
I think the Lions will look different here, and I think draft-wise, I'm on board with this draft because of what it did. I think Stafford's solid where he stays. I still like him as a draft pick for that in the group of the third-tier quarterbacks. Amir Abdullah, who, if you believed in last year, nothing's happened to threaten him. In fact, it's better off because the old fellow is gone. And Theo Riddick is a different type of player. So I like what it does to running back. We got Calvin Johnson exiting. He was unreliable. Sorry, it's true. It's a reality. So Golden Tate is in. Marvin Jones is now a bargain because people are focusing on Golden Tate. They shored up their offensive line. I like a lot here. The undrafted free agent Farrell asks about, he can mention when he gives his grade. They signed a guy, Jace Billingsley, out of Eastern Oregon, Quishad Davis from North Carolina, and a player I do know a little bit about, Jay Lee, the wide receiver from Baylor, who had some flashes over there. So, you know, for me, I give this as a solid double cheeseburger grade. I like it. It'll help me come draft day. Sean?
I just say it's a draft where players have been given a new lease on life and plenty of opportunity. Time to go out and prove it.
Sean, I can tell that we got to take Bobby to some better restaurants. You know, he's limited in his food grades. You know, he no longer can it be a good cheeseburger. It has to be a double cheeseburger. You know, we got to come up with this food thing is completely out of control. Listeners don't know what a double cheeseburger means. Hey,
sure,
Bobby, we've been 40 minutes in the show. The listeners might not even know that we're having a fantasy football contest in Kentucky.
We are. Where is that and when is that?
The August 26th through 28th at the Horseshoe Casino in Southern Indiana, what we like to call the Horseshoe Casino Louisville. Fly into the airport here in Louisville. We'll get you across the bridge. You'll have the greatest weekend of fantasy football, August 26th through the 28th. We added two new players after last week's show, solely responsible from the show, and not been referred to the league, but we're just good listeners of the Bobby Butterfield wisdom, Sean, going out amongst the airways. We're doing Cincinnati a week before. If you're available to come to that draft, do them both. We've got more information at kffsc.com, or you can call me and we'll talk about it at 502-523-5057. Leagues are open for sign-up now.
Yeah, give Farrell a call. It's always fun to give him a hard time, too, and ask him about that gravy. That's no question about that. Hey, the event if you're a new listener, the event's down there. All of you can hang. All of you can compete in those drafts. Farrell pays me a nice compliment as far as me being on the show and being a good fantasy player. And I've had some good luck out there at the Horseshoe. But in truth, to all of you listeners out there, a lot of you I know, because I know the numbers, how many downloads we get. You know, about 5 to 10% of you guys email us in, and really, I get most of my best advice in those conversations, going back and forth with the listeners that email in. So, you know, email myself, go to Farrell's website, get a hold of him. It's just so much fun to talk fantasy. You can talk to guys like Sean, and then in July and August, we'll have other players from the KFFC on. And his comment about Cincinnati, a good tip, because it's a good way to get a little bit of a one-week head start on everybody and kind of get those drafts in before some other adjustments to the draft boards go on, so to speak. So, Farrell, 502-523-5057. We're going to talk about a little contest, too, later on. We're probably not going to get to one of the divisions today, but that's okay. The Green Bay Packers, Kenny Clark, the defensive tackle. Jason Spriggs,
let's skip that division. If we're going to skip a division, let's skip that one. We've already talked about Detroit and Chicago, so I guess we can't skip it, but we can go through it awfully quick.
Okay, so Green Bay offensive tackle from Indiana, Jason Spriggs, two more linebackers, a defensive end. Trevor Davis, a wide receiver, is not going to see the light of day on this team, a Stanford offensive tackle. So let's admit it, Sean. This is the offense coming back with the P90X Eddie Lacy version, and a lot of questions about Jordy Nelson coming back healthy and Jeff Janis getting a lot of talk. So Sean, real quick, Packers.
Well, I think let's not forget they do have a number one pick coming back in Jordy Nelson. So that's kind of like drafting a top notch wide receiver. So that may be the most important thing they have coming back. Hopefully Randall Cobb can slot back into not having to be the man. Hopefully he can be healthy this year and give us something besides heartache and disappointment that he did last year. And as far as Eddie Lacy goes, you know, until they close all the Golden Corrals up there, I'm not buying it.
Oh, Farrell, can you believe he's not buying the Eddie Lacy, man? I'm all in on Eddie. How about you, Farrell?
Sean is not believing his eyes. He can't believe the svelte Eddie Lacy. You can't even recognize the player from what it was last year. And I tell you what, he'll talk cheeseburgers with you, Bobby. Talk about that. How about this draft? I want to shine the light on the number two pick and the fourth round pick. In the second round, they took Spriggs, another Hoosier out of Indiana, a quiet, dominating offensive tackle. Dean Lowry out of Northwestern, a player that I liked when the last year, about this time, everybody talked about him going undrafted in the agent world. I could see this player was really going to ascend through the draft, and I'm surprised he didn't go even earlier. The Packers have a steal. These are two players that Packer fans will absolutely love. You know, if you're a real fan of the team and you see the players that they draft, and it just makes you proud to be a fan of this team. The one question that I have, and you know, Bobby, you don't have to do it now. I mean, I'll dig into it. I would like to see this team come up with a solid kick and punt returner. They're still listing Randall Cobb as their kick and punt returner number one, and you got to get him. You got to get him out of that job.
Yeah, Sean's comment about Jordy Nelson coming in and Randall Cobb going back to his natural position is huge. I think Jeff Janis pushing is a huge thing. And I didn't mention, and I should have asked both of you real quick before we move on, because this draft helps the offensive line. The defense is better and it needs it. That helps Aaron Rodgers. You get Jordy Nelson back. But, Farrell, to you first, there is a tight end on this team now who's kind of interesting.
Well, talk to me about that tight end.
Jared Cook comes over, and I think this guy has never, ever fulfilled his potential, and he's never played with an offense like this one.
Yeah, and he won't fulfill that potential in Green Bay either, because this team just – Bobby, it's just not there. This team doesn't believe in the tight end unless you want to do a Hail Mary at the end of the game. And it's just not there. You can't get me excited about Cook playing on this team. Not at all.
How about you, Sean?
Well, Jared Cook has disappointed me so many years in a row. I'm like, he's got all the physical talent in the world. I see him making these long catches and runs every now and then, and I wonder, where is this most of the time? Seems like the guy ought to be a force in this league, and he never has been. In this far into his career, I know he's going to move to the best quarterback he's ever played with, that's for sure. So maybe we'll get a little bit more out of him, but I still would imagine he'll probably have some really good games, and a lot of games you'll wonder where in the world he went.
Yeah, Jared Cook does not even get picked up if the team did not have salary cap money that they were required to spend. I don't know what this player is doing on this team, to tell you the truth.
Gosh, that's a terrible harbinger of defeat right there, and that's usually a bad sign, folks. When Farrell's that bad on somebody, he's certainly not as good as I hope. That's
and you know
sure.
How I love tight ends, Bobby Butterfield.
You do.
You know how I
you
love
do.
The tight ends.
We watch. So this is a Chevrolet draft from Bobby. The defensive tackle and offensive tackle helps the offense. We get all our players back, and Eddie Lacy has a newfound life with P90X. I'm in on that. We got Jordy Nelson back. I'm calling it a Chevrolet draft. How about you, Sean?
I'll go with a buyer beware, because I'm not buying the P90X last at all season. I'm glad to see Jordy back. I'm glad to see Randall Cobb back in his normal role. And I expect things to normalize in Green Bay back to where they were before last year.
I understand, Sean, about this P90X, because Bobby's got just a little bit too much familiarity with what that P90X is doing for him. And I can't wait to see Bobby's figure showing up at the draft this year. I got a feeling there's something going on over there in Central Kentucky. And Bobby is reshaping the castle and is going to bring it to us in the Dolphin jersey come August.
He is right about me looking better in the Ndamukong Suh. I'm believing my transformation can help Suh be a better player. Let's hit the Vikings before we move on, because it's got an interesting player here. And we got some Teddy Bridgewater carryover from last year. So Laquan Treadwell goes in there. I hated he went here. I'll just say it. Did I say it? I hated he went to this offense. Adrian Peterson, Teddy Bridgewater back. You know, Jarrett McKinnon is there. It's going to make noise. Charles Johnson played hurt a lot. People don't know it. I still like him better than Stephon Diggs. Tight end Kyle Rudolph, give me a break. I'm not touching him this year. Sean, what do you think?
I couldn't agree more with you on Rudolph. I've burned that bridge myself. But Treadwell was my favorite receiver to watch in college last year. I, like you, was not pleased where he ended up. I really liked the guy. I was looking forward maybe to picking him in some dynasty and some keeper league. I'm probably not going to do that now just because of where he ended up. So, yeah, I totally agree with you on that.
Draft Adrian Peterson in the first round and then run away from the Vikings.
I love that comment. Draft Adrian Peterson and run away. He is correct because no matter how good you think Charles Johnson is or Stephon Diggs as far as the value, not only will their overall production be limited by Teddy Bridgewater, they will have these terribly inconsistent games. But Farrell, I laid a little trap there. I didn't mention a player that I really think a lot of, and he's a tight end. That's David Morgan. I think this guy is a super sleeper tight end for the Vikings this year. Any thoughts on him?
Too many tight ends and a quarterback that will be a huge success. A huge success if he throws 20 touchdowns. Leave it alone, Bobby. Run from this team. I am interested in the German receiver just because he's German. Moritz Boehringer coming in as a sixth-round draft pick. And he better be good. You know, he better really, really be good because I see a lot of good players that didn't get drafted, went in the seventh round. So if you're going to start drafting German players, you better really be good. Maybe this kid will be good. I look forward to seeing him, but draft the running back and get out of town.
He starred in the workout, I think, down in the southeast, the Florida workout. You'll probably correct me on that. But his tape, if you look at it, looks like he's playing against a bunch of my junior high school football teams as far as who he's playing against sometimes. Not to really put him down because I know he's a tremendous athlete. I'm just saying the level of competition, the game tape wasn't worth evaluating. He's not going to go anywhere because it's too much PR to cut him, so he's going to stay there. For me, Sean, the draft read on this, it's kind of like one of those old-fashioned ice cream cones, you know, the sugar ones that's like a teepee, and somebody cut the bottom inch of it off. So you better hurry up and eat the ice cream because it's going to be gone real soon.
Well, I guess I'll go back to the car theme and call it a Volkswagen. You know, I really don't know what to make of it. And I figure, you know, they probably drafted the German wide receiver because they figure Bridgewater can overthrow and underthrow him as well as anybody else.
That's interesting, Farrell. Farrell, so grade-wise, you're a runaway grade. Your grade is just runaway.
Grade-wise is this burrito will send you to the hospital. Runaway.
Spoiled burrito. So it's a spoiled burrito. That's okay. Spoiled burrito. New Orleans Saints, real quick. Sheldon Rankins, a defensive tackle from Farrell's Louisville. Let me say that right. Louisville.
Oh, boy.
Michael Thomas, wide receiver, Ohio State, round two. This is a super signing, in my opinion. Von Bell, a great safety in round two. They traded back up to get that pick. I love this draft, Farrell. How about you?
I'll talk only about the defensive tackle. I think that this, you know, we went into the draft and everybody said Rankins is going 12th to New Orleans, and that's solid. You can count on that, and that's exactly what he did. And you could predict that because how many times they play Carolina a year? At least two. Same thing with Tampa. Look at those quarterbacks. Now you've got a three-technique defensive tackle that relies more on speed and agility rather than brute force. He's going to get into that backfield and chase down those quarterbacks, ideally. That's the way it's drawn up on paper. Chase down those quarterbacks, much like Denver got after Cam in the Super Bowl. That's the plan. These guys saw how to do it, and that's what they're going to bring. And, you know, this kid, I hope he plays well, and I think he will. That will change a lot of things for New Orleans if he can. It'll change some down and distance. You know, keep them in the games. It'll keep things close. This is exactly what you needed to do when you already have a high-powered offense. So my grade, you won't have to return to me for a grade. I don't really care about anything else. They addressed their need with a fantastic player that they didn't have to reach for.
Sean?
Yeah, I think it was much-needed help on the defensive side of the ball. I think the receiver could be interesting. He definitely fits what they like. You know, he ought to be a good complement to Brandon Cooks. So, yeah, I like it pretty well for them. I don't think it helps them that much in real life this year, but I think they're building for the future. I'd say they're right down the middle of the road again. Probably going to be 9-7 at the best.
Record-wise, Sean will give that a 9-7 grade. I like that. But Rankin's a defensive tackle. Bell at safety. I love what helps that defense. Plus, they made some moves in free agency. Michael Thomas, this wide receiver, will eclipse Willie Snead will eclipse Brandon Coleman and be the wide receiver too opposite Cooks. He is a sharp, route-running, precise possession wide receiver, Farrell. Isn't that the guy they need?
Oh, definitely. That's the guy they need. And, yeah, Willie Snead, we've seen his best football. And it's fantastic
right.
when he – yeah, we've seen his best football from that player. That player's an overachiever, and I love watching him, but he's not what you want to build a fantasy career around. This is a rookie wide receiver that I can get into buying into the idea that he's going to have 60 catches. You know, it's very difficult for a lot of rookies to – get past that 50 mark. I can buy into this receiver catching 60 balls.
Yeah, I like it. So one thing we didn't mention, folks, is that if you go to the allpurposeroto.com website, there is a sign up for the weekly rundown. Right now that's coming about every other week. We get into June, you'll get it every week in July. That'll come out coordinated with Farrell. At times you'll get the KFFFC rundown. He'll give you an update on the league and what's going on. And preseason, you'll get updates on the event coming up. So if you sign up for that, which it's not, it's just an email with, you know, eight paragraphs in it and a few links if you want to click on them. None. That's it. If you sign up, you are eligible to win a free team in the KFFFC main event. He will get you down there. You will be able to participate. And if you're there, you better buy another team because that's value. That's taking care of your money, right, Farrell?
You better believe it. If you want to come to our party, you better really enjoy playing in it, and that's the way we would like to have you. But, yeah, please sign up. We'd like to get your name. It's open to all new players that have never played in the league before in any way. And, we're always excited about introducing the league to new players. I've got a new favorite. I guess we've got time to talk about one more team, and I'd like to stay in this division, but –
we can.
I've truly got a new favorite, or at least rising with a bullet, general manager in a league. And you guys are going to flip when I say it because you've never heard me talk about this before. But I'll throw it to you, Sean, first, and then Bobby. But, Bobby, give us a rundown, I suppose, from the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yeah. It's a real – so funny you said that, Farrell, because I was kind of thinking we should hit him before we sign out. But I said, well, this is a draft you need to look at carefully. So first round, Vernon Hargraves, fantastic cornerback, just what they needed from Florida. Falls from Eastern Kentucky, wow, what a player. I can talk about him. Round two late, they pick up the kicker that everyone wants to lynch them for, Roberto Aguia, and Farrell can correct me on that spelling. But they wanted to kill the Buccaneers for taking this kicker from Florida State. Round four, Ryan Smith, another cornerback. It was a position of need. They doubled down. I like it. Then an offensive tackle, then a linebacker. Finished with a fullback from Northwestern. Go ahead, Farrell.
Yeah, this is what I like. Hargraves, you said it. Hargraves is going to play in this league forever, and he's going to shut down. He's going to be a shutdown corner in this league, and when he does get beat, he's got the personality and the attitude to bounce back. How many times have we seen the Tampa Bay Bucks get behind, and you can just see their body language drain through the TV screen? I really like the type of personality that they're bringing in here. Spence, they're comfortable and confident that this kid is not as bad as what he was thought to be, and I hope that's the situation. If he is, they got a player above where he should have been drafted. Now everybody wants to complain about the kicker, but Sean brought it up so great in the last couple of weeks when I was going on and on about Goskowski, and I know Sean's not going to get this kicker because he's going to draft one in the 20th round. But these are, despite the fact that these are shootouts in this division, they always seem to be very close games. And we saw so many games decided by field goals in the kicking game last year that I don't have any problem with this. If you get exactly what you want in the first two picks and you've got an extra second-round pick, you can go off tilt and take a kicker. And so fantasy players should take a look at that. And then Vitale is a little small, fullback standards in the NFL. But I noticed something last year, and this is a theme I want to really, really talk about. Quarterback came a long, long way. We just beat up Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater looks like the same kid that showed up day one. Am I right about that?
That's right, same kid, same body.
I know that he isn't, and I know in that offense he's getting smarter, but on the field I don't see it translating. With Winston, you could see him getting better game by game and that confidence growing. And they had guys, and Vitale is just another one of those guys. They had the tight end, Brate. In the last 5 weeks, this guy catches 17 balls and 2 touchdowns. They had the possession receiver, Humphreys, number 11. Look up what he did from week 8 on. His whole season, you know, he's on pace to catch close to 55, 60 balls. They are beginning to be able to move players around that are good at one or two things, and then these three players, Vitale, Humphreys, Brate, they're all going to be at the end of your draft, but at the end of the year, especially if you're in a draft master format, these guys are actually going to be producing for you because of the of what the quarterback, how much better he's getting. And I'm pretty fascinated about what's going on. I can understand there why the organization went out and re-signed Martin at running back and gave him a good contract. I'm excited about drafting Buck players. And let me tell you, other than Evans, I haven't been really excited about anybody off this team. That includes the quarterback. I'm looking to draft quarterback this year too.
Sean.
I would say the one thing, when you draft a kicker that early, that means you're pretty comfortable with what you have at every other position, obviously. So if you know they're very confident in what they have. So if, from that respect, that's a good sign for us players. That this is a team on the rise, offensively and defensively, and maybe so more in real life than in fantasy. But I think that's the major thing I took away from that. You would think, you know, if you were still had a lot of glaring holes, they would have traded that extra pick away to get some extra picks, take a kicker later on, or, you know, just sign one. So that definitely was a sign of confidence in their coaching staff. That's what I read into that.
I love this draft. I love what it did to the veterans on the team. I think Farrell's right about Hargraves. It's an every week starter at a position of need in a division that they need that type of attitude on defense. Noah Spence was Urban Meyer's first ever five-star recruit on his team. He led the team in sacks his first year as a starter on that team, and then his drug addiction took hold, got him out of Ohio State. He lost a couple of seasons. He went to Kentucky. He went to Eastern Kentucky, Farrell, and he did what he's supposed to do as a super talented player in a division that's not up to his standards. He dominated that division. He crushed that division. He was a monster in that division, and he kept himself straight. Let's see. I'll look it out here. Yeah, he had 22.5 tackles for a loss, 11.5 sacks, 63 tackles, and 22 quarterback hurries. The guy was a beast. They took him in round two. It's huge upside for this defense at a position of desperate need. So, and then the kicker, it's 3 picks short of being in the third round. And as you said, Farrell, that kicking position, he's going to start every week for this team. He's probably going to win a game or two for them. So I think this draft for the players alone they picked was great. And then, like you said, slide into the Mike Evans, Austin Seferian-Jenkins, Jameis Winston. I'm liking it, Farrell. I'm giving this one a smooth Lexus grade, brother.
Wow. There he goes back to the car. I'm giving this a Maserati grade, Bobby Butterfield, because you really want to come with a sleek Italian-looking car when you're talking about all these accolades. So, you know, with your new PX90 body that you're going to be displaying in August, you know, you'll fit nicely into a Maserati. Don't you think you will, Sean? It'll look good in a Maserati. So I think you should give the Tampa Bay Bucks the grade of a Maserati, and we should get on out of here by reminding Sean and everyone else. You know what? Let's let Sean tell everybody about how great the league is. Get a little extra work out of him.
Yeah.
It's a great time. Everybody is super friendly. Everybody's super willing to talk to you about strategy. Not all secretive. Like Bobby said before, kind of like you're playing in your home league, but you're with, you know, the best players in the United States come to Kentucky to play. But, you know, don't be intimidated by that. People are friendly. There's all kinds of information around everywhere. I mean, even in your first year, if you don't do so great, I guarantee you'll learn a lot, and you'll be better prepared for the next year and for your home leagues. You'll just start to dominate those. So it's a lot of fun, a lot of knowledge, a lot of friendly people, and I definitely encourage everybody to come on out.
And, you know, in your cousin Harry's garage where you have the draft and you have to sit on the freezer that doesn't work and you can't really see the board, remember what we're dealing with, guys. We have the ballroom at one of the greatest hotel casinos in the country. We have the University of Louisville facilitators. If you play all University of Louisville dance team facilitators, five of which have now made the NFL rosters as dancers for this upcoming season. I digress. And if you're going to stay with us the whole weekend, you've got a beautiful room upstairs in the hotel at the casino at an approved and discounted rate that we'll pass on to you later. Bobby, we're doing everything for the players, and we're even telling them the guys that they can pick and win for a $300 entry fee. This is the most fun in fantasy football you'll ever have. I appreciate anyone that that wants to talk about it giving me a call at 502-523-5057.
There you have it, folks. Farrell Elliott from the KFFFC and Bob from All Purpose Roto with Sean. You know, my favorite part of that event, actually, I'll be honest with you folks, is the breakfast. Every other day we have breakfast and just hanging out, chatting up with different people and both fans of the show, colleagues, and an expert. It's a lot of fun. So, hey, folks, we'll grab these last, I guess we missed about six or eight teams. We'll pick them up on the next show, and we'll get those last funny grades in for our fantasy drafts. Thanks for listening. Don't forget where you get Farrell. Don't forget allpurposeroto.com. Sign up for that newsletter so you get a free league, man. You get a free, I mean, free team. I always want to say free league. You get a free team, and that's it. That's it. Farrell, kick us out of here, buddy.
Later, guys. See you next Tuesday at 7:30 Eastern, and we'll talk more ways that you can win fantasy football no matter where you play it.
Now, come with me now.